Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. In case you didn't recognize the singer, it's Luciano Pavarotti. And I just learned last night that his favorite music, do you know what his favorite music that he likes to listen to is? Or was? Guess what it is? Doo-wop. How's that? Oh, that makes me feel good. Our subject tonight is greatest education requires religion. The greatest education you can get is a real religious one. I was blessed to have the benefit of a real Catholic education. My kindergarten school was PS 189, where I learned to spill paint on my coloring book. From there, it was St. Elizabeth's Grammar School, all nuns, and one lay teacher. From there, it was on to Bishop Dubois High School, all priests and Marist brothers, and one lay gym teacher. Totally religious exposure. Did I absorb religion like a blotter? What teenager does while hormones bubble? The gift I received was knowledge of right from wrong. You can call abortion choice, but I know it is murder. God said, through Moses, thou shalt not kill, period. Especially your own. Jesus says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So therefore, knowing right from wrong does not qualify me to throw stones. However, I do have an obligation to convince people in trouble from hurting their soul. The schools I was blessed to attend are no more. Convents and churches are up for sale. The same $1 in the 50s collection basket is in the basket still. My grammar school education was free to parish members. My high school education was $12 a month. I had an after-school job that paid $12 a week. So I paid for my own education. Yeah, and I'm watching college graduates walking out the door without jobs and a debt to the government or the banks for 28 grand average. Something's wrong with that equation. Now, I'm pretty good at math, and that's not a good number. Unbelievable. So, today's big families, three or more kids, cannot afford a religious education for their children. So off they go to anti-religious and anti-American secular schools, where teachers' unions serve themselves, just like that fat golden calf government that can't put a budget together in the 11th hour. And they all got called back from the airport. Can you believe that? What a farce. That should be Academy Awards. Okay, so where are we here? Off we go. Let me see here. The big loss is a country with no conscience that does not know right from wrong. The churches lose the parishioners because, as Jesus said, a child shall lead them. Now the child leads them to Marxist training. Tolerance for the devil and his bad deeds. Stalin, Castro, and Hitler had their young pioneers and youth groups all state trained. Today, we even corrupt the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. What is that saying? When the door closes, God opens a window? The answer is the internet. One religious preschool on YouTube can now educate the world. If you can get a computer to a hut in Africa, you now have a classroom. The day is here, and pray that communism does not mislead the way back to slavery. Like Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am here with you. What a rabbi. The church with low funds now has a way to spread God's education and help children grow morally and intelligent. Preschool leads to kindergarten. Grammar school leads to high school. High school leads to college. Kids in villages that have chores can access school on their time schedule. Miss a class and it is there on YouTube. American moms who are heartbroken because their children are trapped in a low-achievement school can escape to YouTube. Homeschooling moms who don't want their children getting anal condom insertion training can get help on blessed YouTube. I use YouTube as an example because they can do it quickly or better if they choose. These education oases can schedule exercise classes also. This vehicle will begin shortly as entrepreneurs see dollar signs. I hear them talking about it already. It's going to be a great movement if it's handled right. If it's handled wrong, it'll just be another brainwashing tool. Then the government will try to Obamascare it and take it over with Marxist laws. Stay internet free and educate yourself and your family. Let's make good things happen to good people. More tea, anybody? Let's see what we got here. We were going to do a tune. We will do the war cry. You want to hear our Tea Party war cry? Let me see if we can get down here. Here we go. I got one. I got five versions of this tune. Yeah, there we go. Come on, come on. I just saw you. I'm going to do version three.
Proudly the note of the trumpet is sounding. Loudly the war cries arise on the gale. Fleetly the steed by Loch's Willie is bounding to join the thick squadrons on Samyr's green vale. On every mountaineer, stranger to fight or fear, rush to the standard of dauntless red hue. Bonnet and galloglass, crown from each mountain pass, onward for Erin O'Donnell of Oo. Princely O'Neill to our aid is advancing with many a chieftain and warrior clan. A thousand proud steeds in his vanguard are prancing.
Usually follow Imus, and I really don't like the blonde on blonde session. I've always had my opinion that it was liberal on liberal, but Deidre Imus raised my spirits today, and she was defending our military and our CIA, which is, you know, they work for us, they're our country. Yeah. Of course, the Democrats would never let you believe that. So I sent him a little email. I'll tell you what it is. Deidre, you're right on the money. Brunhilde, that's the other blonde that's on there, is a lawyer. She thinks like a lawyer. And did you know that Middle Easterners can't say the word lawyer? They can't. They can't pronounce the word lawyer. They say liar. I'm going to get a good liar. Anybody who tells me torture doesn't work, I say, let us see you. Can I see your fingernails? Where's the pliers? I know for a fact if I'm captured, the first question gets the right answer. How true when you said you never served, and that's what she did. She told the lawyer, you never served. You have no idea what it's like and to be in the military. And when she said that, I recalled three Americans rotting in Fort Leavenworth, tried with a PC crime called premeditated murder on the battlefield. One is a black sergeant. I think his name is Mitchell. He's got a wife and two daughters. One was Lieutenant Behenna, who was released after 5 years of a 15-year sentence, whose first words to the press were, you know, it's all about, you ever hear the GI say, it's all about, it's not about this, not about that, it's all about the guys on either side of me. And, of course, Bo Birdcall left somebody unguarded. And Obama promoted him to sergeant. Yeah, if you betray your country, you get a promotion. And they're waiting for the country to forget he's a rat, and then they're going to give him extra cheese. Yeah, unbelievable. Okay, so when Lieutenant Behenna was released after 5 years of a 15-year sentence, what do you think the first words were that he said to the press? Did he say, I've been wronged? I'm completely innocent. He said, I have two buddies in there on suicide watch. He wasn't thinking of himself. He was thinking of the team. And the whole team's in jail, huh? The team members are in jail. And the third guy is a guy named Evan Vela, and this is a sad one. He was on a sniper mission in Iraq watching a village, so they're concealed. And they're waiting to pick off an identified Al-Qaeda. So they're watching the village. And a villager got too close to their concealed position. Commander of the mission jumped the villager, pulled him down, and ordered Behenna to shoot him in the head. And Behenna shot him and killed him. The three were brought up on politically correct, premeditated murder charges. I said, Behenna, I'm sorry, it's Evan Vela. Evan Vela, he's a sergeant. And I think there was a lieutenant, and the lieutenant and one other were tried back in the U.S., and they kept Vela in Iraq and tried him in Iraq after negotiating that the Iraqis wanted to charge him with the crimes in an Iraqi. So you can see how close our government is to selling out the troops, that they're even debating it. So Evan Vela was tried by six officers and a court-martial in Iraq and was given 15 years. Not one of those officers has combat experience. So Evan Vela, for doing his duty, for serving his country, gets 15 years in jail. Okay? His wife, their home is in Alaska. He's now in Fort Leavenworth. His wife, and also Mitchell's wife, have no benefits. They have absolutely no benefits. There's no paycheck coming in. Evan Vela's wife has to sell their house, which I'm sure went for a small change, because it probably was a small house, you know, a get-by house. And she had to sell it and move to Fort Leavenworth so that Evan Vela could see his child. I think it's a girl. But there you go. And that's what we're doing to our troops. While we're paying people to jump the border and giving them Social Security and welfare. And this has got to end. And if it doesn't end, you're going to have a revolution on your hand. Maybe that's what Obama wants. Maybe he thinks he's going to order troops to fire on their brothers and sisters. It ain't going to work out. And already the cops are getting ticked off. In New York, they're going down to Borough Hall sometime this week. and they're going to let that communist mayor know what they really think of him. So, it's not going to continue the way it's going. There's going to be a change. Think about who's in prison and those with those three guys in that scenario. You know who's in prison? Their wife and kids. They no longer receive a paycheck or benefits. They can't even buy groceries at the commissary. And I told you, he was nearly tried in an American, in an Iraqi court. So, being that this is Jesus' birthday coming up, we're going to testify, not in court, to the court of love.
As long as I shall live, I will testify to love. I'll be a witness in the sight.
Okay, we're back, and we've got a 13-minute segment entitled Christian Persecution, USA. Welcome to the Spirit of America Party and the Spirit of America Party book. 12 days left until Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, little baby Jesus. And the story of Christmas will be told again and again and again for the next 2,000 years, in spite of all the efforts of the communists and the atheists to shut down Jesus. It can't be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to see... I have this picture. When we went to war, you know, when we were attacked by the Muslims on 9/11, when we went to war to fight Islam, you're not supposed to say that. No, you're supposed to, it's a radical, it's a handful. It's a handful. What's a handful? Oh, about 1.2 billion. Yeah. So anyway, and by the way, we're going to get slaughtered in Afghanistan. Obama has set the stage for a big casualty count in Afghanistan. He's up to 2,347 as of probably 2 months ago. And we lost 2 today. That's nothing. This Taliban is not going to bed for the winter. They are going to be gearing up for a warfare winter and a tremendous offensive in the springtime, as this community activist throws Israel under the bus and licks the sandals of the mullahs in Iran. He is going to do the Mogadishu mile on the way out of Afghanistan, and our enemies know it, and so does the CIA, but they're not allowed to tell us anymore. And there's no more waterboarding, because waterboarding is bad. You know, they didn't even give them a bathing suit. So I decided I wanted to, it has been my dream since we went into a war against Muslim terrorists, you know, the majority, that we would, at Christmas time, with our boys overseas, near the Holy Land, and near the environment that has sheep and stables and burros and people who wear the same garb as Joseph and Mary did. I always wanted to see a Christmas card created by GIs with the Blessed Mother, baby Jesus, and Joseph, the three wise men, and the shepherds, and the angels, and I wanted to see GIs in combat uniforms praying to God. And I would love to see one day that card that says, we are God and country people, and we will always be God and country people, and you can persecute us, and we can go down to 12 and start all over again. Because that's what made this country great. And that's what will make this country great once again. So I decided I'm doing a scenario. I've got pictures, beautiful pictures of shepherds, beautiful pictures of angels. I go to images, you know. And I've got the Magi. I got some beautiful shots of the Magi. And I just Googled U.S. military nativity scenes. And let me tell you what came up. Nativity scenes removed from Guantanamo dining halls. That's on December 19, 2013. Pentagon explains decision by Shaw Air Force Base to remove nativity scene. That's 2013 December. So it is offensive against Christ by the communists in the Pentagon and in the White House, started just before Christmas of last year. Outrageous Air Force Base in South Carolina boots the nativity. Commanders at U.S. Air Force Base in South Carolina have booted a nativity scene from its premises. And I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at commanders, and I'm telling you what I see. Obama has replaced the best with the worst. And General McChrystal should run for the presidency or Secretary of Defense. Obama has replaced the best with the worst. He has launched an attack on Christ in the military. And it's really sad. Here's another one. This is December the 13th, 2012. A live nativity scene planned at the U.S. Navy base in Bahrain was dropped after an atheist group complained about it. My friends, they're not atheists. Atheists don't, they hate God, but they don't hate country. These atheists hate country. And they are communists under the guise of being the religion of atheism. Communism is also a religion. It's the religion of slavery and dispensable fools. So here's anti-Christian group forces the Air Force to remove nativity, December the 12th, 2013. Okay, so that's what's going on, and that's why you're losing your country. That's just a couple of highlights. But you got to know what's going on. If you don't know the players, if you don't have a scorecard, you don't know the players, you don't know the game. And the game is to bring it all down under any pretense. So let me give you a tune, and we'll get religious. This tune that I'm going to play for you is not a Christmas hymn. It's a hymn of sorrow. And it's a hymn sung by a man who lost his country for 500 years. And the name of the tune is The West's Asleep. And it's about the Irish being enslaved by the British. And because they lost... In about the 10th century, their fight against England. The English came in, took over their country, took over their land, burned their churches. Priests were forced to pray in ditches. If they caught a priest, they would put him in a barrel and cover him with tar and set him on fire. They took everything the Irish owned and made them slaves, made them tenants in their own land. And what's sad is that they didn't see it coming until it was too late. And that's what's going to happen to us. We're not going to see our defeat coming until it's too late. And George Patton said twice in his lifetime he saw America come from behind, but he didn't doubt with missiles and nuclear bombs we could do it a third time. So that's one expert general's opinion. And if that's true, or if it's semi-true, we should be gearing up to win, not gearing down to lose. And you don't build morale by killing the spirit of God in American fighting men. This is not a secular nation. This is a God and country nation. We owe everything to God. He gave us our freedom. All men are created equal. But the communists have infiltrated and twisted our Constitution to their advantage. And the Democrat Party is the Communist Party. And it's going to become more and more obvious to you as time goes on. And right now you don't say the word communist because you've been brainwashed not to say it. And if you do say it, someone will accuse you of being a McCarthyist. But let me tell you, the spirit of America died with Joe McCarthy. And we have been on the run ever since. But there will be a resurrection, and I do believe in resurrections. So this tune is called The West's Awake. And it's sad. He's describing his people, and if they were only awake, we would never have lost. So listen to the words and feel sad for yourself, because this could happen here.
When all beside a vigil keep, the west asleep, alas and well, may Erin weep, that caught off life in slumber deep, their lake and plain smile fair and free, mid rocks their guardian chivalry.
Okay, we're back. Did you like that? That guy was moaning, man. He was moaning. He lost his country. Unbelievable. You never want to moan. Not like that. They're talking about which number one Christmas song is going to top the charts again this year. Is it going to be Elvis? Or they had somebody else. And it looks like everybody loves Elvis's Blue Christmas.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. And when those blue snowflakes
Got a headline at the Tea Party. It says, Rosie gets schooled by Bush staffer over torture. And let's see what that's all about. You weren't told to take off your shoes and run. Let's see what it's about. They got a picture. I got a picture. You know, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, you know how hairy he was? Somebody put Rosie O'Donnell's head on his body. The reprehensible Rosie O'Donnell continued her rantings. They brought her back for this crap. This is the best she can do. The puke. I call it the puke, not the view. And I got to tell you, she's a disgrace. She's on our coat of arms. And you'd have to get the coat of arms. She's on the left side. I'm not going to tell you what it is. But you get the O'Donnell coat of arms. There's a big Christian cross in the center. And on the top, on the right hand of the shield, there's a sword through a heart. And that means only a woman can pierce our hearts. And on the left side is a sword through a pig, which means we now keep kosher. Unbelievable, man. And Rosie O'Donnell, this woman, she's come back to haunt us. So she's arguing with a guy named Wallace, who was director of media affairs at the Bush White House. And he was at work on 911 and vividly recalled fleeing the office after the attacks and calling, oh, it's a woman, Nicole Wallace, okay, and calling her parents. She said the intelligence officers who did the interrogations necessary to prevent another attack had her gratitude. I don't think anyone is defending brutal attacks. It's a joke, man. It's a joke. That's why they don't happen anymore. But I have never been more proud to defend the people who walk the line for this country and in this city. Cops, firemen. Nobody ever thanks the mailman. It's Christmas. Don't forget the UPS guy and the mailman. Yeah. The garbage guys, they've been a little sloppy, but I'm going to take care of them. They're a little prima donna on my route here. Sometimes they bypass the can. Maybe when it's damp out and they don't want to get their ballet slippers dirty. O'Donnell, a 911 conspiracy theory. Who would ever listen to this ranting idiot? You gotta be six sheets to the wind. You know what six sheets to the wind is? Your sailboat is flying, man. Yeah. Has a role in the attacks, was unrepentant and obtuse. Would you like to hear the comments? There's 155 of them. I wouldn't want to be so obsessed with myself that people think I'm standing on my head when I talk. Did you ever see her do that? She had a bit. I had it on one of my websites. She was on a, she was upside down. She's a nut job, man. Yes, that's the U.S. government had a role in the attacks is a little too ambiguous to be believable. The late Aaron Russo, a former Hollywood producer and former libertarian U.S. presidential nominee, discussed conversations with Nicholas Rockefeller, who was trying to get Russo to join the Council on Foreign Relations 11 months before it happened. Rosie O'Donnell is Larry Flynt's love child, says one. Rosie can't be schooled. She already knows everything. She's a disgrace, man. She's a disgrace. It is really sad. Okay. She's back. She wants it. She's struggling. This is what they do for attention. Yeah. Yeah. I got a buddy that made a comment about getting attention. He said on St. Patty's Day he was going to paint his ass green and walk up Fifth Avenue. He liked attention. Unbelievable. 9-1-1 was a bloody day, man. And 9-1-1 was the greatest defeat in the history of the United States. The greatest military defeat, and it was all civilians and firemen and cops, Port Authority. 200 mothers, pro-life mothers, died with their pro-life babies. And those mothers should have that child named by the family and put that child on that monument with their mother. They died together. They should be remembered together. But the communists don't want to recognize unborn children. And they kill 1,200,000 a year. 4,700 a day divided into 1,200,000. You'll get the number of working days. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace that a country that can find a cure for polio has to pull children apart. And then they got to reassemble them. Once they tear the bodies apart, they got to reassemble them to make sure they didn't leave anything behind. So they got to put the puzzle together that they created. You ought to do a tour of a Democrat chop shop. And let me know if you're still pro-abortion when you come out. Yeah, do this. Go to YouTube. Google, Save the Kids, Abu Tam. Save the Kids, Abu Tam. And if you're still pro-choice, after you see that, I'll buy you an ice cream. Obama to bypass Congress on New World Order. And so he's planning to deal with the communists. And let's see what else we got. Convicted terrorist Bill Ayers and college professor. That's what you got into college. You think he's the only guy in colleges tearing down this country? He says U.S. is a terrorist nation. He told that to the Iranian president, to the Iranian media. This guy, I got to tell you, man, when we lose and these people are running the country, you're going to see more vigilantism than you ever seen in your whole life. You're going to see more assassinations than you ever saw in your whole life. There won't be a person safe in this country. Convicted terrorist and retired. He's retired. He got a pension. Yeah, he got a pension, man. He sat down with Fars News, a state-controlled media outlet that serves the Islamic Republic of Iran. Bush's biggest mistake when he took Iraq, he should have went into Iran. He was a half hour away from Ahmadinejad's house. And that was the time when the mullahs were all pooping in their dish dashes because they thought they were next. And all Bush had to do was huff and puff, and he could have got whatever he wanted, especially when they seen a Saddam being dragged out of the spider hole. I don't have a spider hole built, and they're half hour away. What are we going to do? No nukes. We don't need the nukes. Yeah, instead, and you know what else we didn't do? They put up some dinky radio station to get to the Iranian people to help them overthrow the government and to broadcast Iraq is being freed and you're next. They put up a dinky radio station, and I think they hired Hezbollah to run it. But in 8 years that we were there, we could have been broadcasting freedom messages all day long. We could have made friends. We could have made allies. We could have undermined that government. We didn't do shit. We are not ready for anything. Anybody tells you we're ready, you just go rerun the 911. Is this a drill? Are you sure? This isn't an exercise, is it? Oh, we got two planes coming up from Washington, D.C., but they have no weapons. Okay. All right. Tell them to stand down off the coast. Okay. Yeah, we were ready. The Pentagon didn't even have one demonstration missile in the whole place. They didn't have one guy on a rooftop with a Stinger that could have brought down the plane that went into the Pentagon. They weren't ready for anything. We were not ready at all. We were wide open, face down, pants down, and 3,000 people died. And the first thing that the communists did was they blamed Bush. They had created 8 years of, come on and kill us, Osama. Come on, you practiced in 93, you didn't make it. Okay, you want 100,000? They're ready for you. Come on in. Yeah, rent some planes. Pay it with credit cards. Yeah, and then you won't even have to pay it. You'll get an Air Force for free. Yeah, and that's what we did. And President Pinocchio Pants, when he learned about 911, he was in Australia. And do you know what he did when he heard about it? We can't find the photo, but there was a photo of him. We can't find it. I'd love to find it. My wife said he had a look on his face that was guilt written all over. And you remember, he had an opportunity to take out Osama bin Laden in the Hindu Kush. Who, on a day when he was out in the wide open falcon hunting with a prince from the United Arab Emirates. And they didn't take the shot because they didn't want to kill the prince. And I wonder if money changed hands on saving the prince's life.
Oh, that could never happen. No, not here in the Virgin USA.
Yeah. The current regime in Iran is arguably the foremost purveyor of Islamic terrorism. You want to know how bad it is? The Saudis are dumping oil just to get below the price that the Iranians need to build more nukes. The only one that's fighting the Iranians are the Saudis. And, of course, the last resort's going to be the Israelis. And when the Israelis have to go to work, they're going to use Saudi air bases. And when the Israelis go to work, and by the way, you should know this, that Israel had on the other side of Iran, they had an agreement with the Azerbaijanis. The Azerbaijanis were going to let Israeli warplanes land, bombers land and refuel and then come back to Israel. And the State Department tipped off the Iranians that there was a deal in the works. And the Iranians put pressure on the Azerbaijanis. You know what kind of pressure they put on them, right? We'll kill all of you. And they had to back out of the agreement. So you got a State Department, which to me is a mini UN. It's not worth Shiite. And you got a president that hates this country that he pretends to come from. And he's got a staff behind him. None of them are qualified. None of them were never citizens of this country, as far as I'm concerned. They're college kids. He's got a bunch of college graduates running his Red House. Ayers was the co-founder of the radical left wing. Let me see. The current regime in Iran is arguably the foremost purveyor of terrorism. They shoot their own. Do you know that they go into the colleges? The American colleges should have to live under the Iranians. They send the Baji police into the colleges at night when the kids are sleeping and they beat them. Did you ever see Iranian Baji police make an arrest? And do you know where you go?
Oh, yeah, you see the police brutality here in this country. That way they made me get in the back seat and the man protected my head so I wouldn't get hurt.
You know what they do in the Baji police? They throw you in the trunk.
Yeah.
After they beat you. And then when you get out of the trunk, they beat you again. And you know that guy that got us bin Laden? He's still rotting in a Pakistani jail. But we paid money and gave 5 big terrorists back to Hezbollah and the Taliban for a Bo Birdcall. And we can't get this Pakistani a doctor out of prison. Do you know how many times his feet have been beaten on a daily basis? You think that guy is in one piece in that prison? You think we're slipping money to the prison guards not to hurt him?
And the guy who killed bin Laden, how come he's not getting half of the $25 million? How come he's not getting half of the $25 million? Thank you and good luck. You could split it with the doctor. And you know what? Could say, you and the doctor can split it if you can get the doctor out of that prison. I bet you could get him out of that prison. Do you know who the five guys were that Obama traded for a traitor? Here you go. Khairullah Kirkaqua. He was the governor of Herat province. Okay? He's back on the scene. And they're killing Americans. And they're going to be killing a lot of Americans. And God help the Democrat Communist Party and Obama if one GI gets his throat cut on TV. Narula Nuri, he was the governor of Balkh province. As a matter of fact, he was the governor of two provinces. So there's two governors that they released that control whole entire Taliban provinces or Afghani provinces. Abdul Haq Wasik, he was the head of a Taliban intelligence, and Human Rights Watch has violations against him. Mohammed Abi Omeri, head of Taliban communications. Mohammed Fazl, minister of defense. He likes to kill Shia. Mohammed Nabi, head of Taliban security. He penetrated the CIA and killed CIA officers. Oh, is that the same CIA that was waterboarding and playing that American rock and roll, surfing USA? Was that them? Those CIA guys, were they putting their lives on the line for America in a foreign land? And they took a risk and they all died? Oh, what were their names? Not to be published. Everything is secret. Anytime Obama loses somebody, it's a secret. He's lost 2,347 Americans in Afghanistan and plus two today. And they're all classified as NATO troops, covered up by the communist press, classified as NATO troops to be identified later. I got news for you. They're not being buried with the tulips in Holland. Every mother is getting an American flag that 40 senators voted to burn, along with the coffin of her son. We are a weak country, a nation of wusses, and we're rapidly becoming wussier. Well, that's it, man. Okay, having said that, I got 52 seconds left. What do we give you? What do I give you? I thought I was looking for something. Did I do it? Aha. There we go. This is for all. Oh, and the consensus of opinion in my family tonight? Get out of Afghanistan. Don't leave anybody there. And do the same thing you did in Iraq. Get out. Let them square away their own lives. I know that's a bitch, and I know we're betraying people, but I got to tell you, this government kills more Americans than the enemy does. And they're going to kill more. Here's a little back in the USA for the boys coming home in one piece. And speaking of one piece, they now have a laser artillery piece. And the bragging point about this laser artillery piece, it's on a ship. It burns everything on the way to the target. Now, somebody's got to make a mini version of that that goes on vehicles so that we can burn all the way down to the IED. We need an IED pre-detonator. To me, that's more important than a $40 billion laser gun. An IED pre-detonator will save legs, limbs, and faces. We need that. We've been in this war 13 years. We still don't have it. Our priorities are all screwed up. And tonight they thought and all the jerks are at the airport, and they had to bring them back because they had to get the vote right. Can you believe that? The useless of A. Welcome to the useless of A. Come on home, GIs. Come home for Christmas, everybody.
going to give you a little bit more on this Bill Ayers retirement, retired communist professor. Convicted terrorist and retired professor Bill Ayers sat down with Voss. We said that already. The current regime in Iran is the foremost purveyor of terrorism. They have backed countless terror groups. They're in Venezuela, by the way, which include Hamas, Hezbollah. So if they're in Venezuela, they're in the border, too. Hamas, Hezbollah, and Houthi insurgents. Houthi insurgents, that's Yemen. While also providing aid and support to Syrian dictator Bashar al-Assad. Houthi insurgents in Yemen sit on the Saudi Arabian border. Saudi Arabia hates Iran. And I'm sure they've already tried to buy nukes from the Russians in order to destroy Iran to defend themselves. But I think the Russians won't work with them. Ayers was a co-founder of the radical left-wing Weather Underground terror group. Over a three-year time period, he participated in bombings of the NYPD headquarters in 1970, the U.S. Capitol building in 1971, and the Pentagon in 1972. Here's a couple of comments. One guy wishes they would tie a bill to the bomb that they detonate. Yeah, okay. This Skip says, the problem is just what is said in the first five words of this post. Convicted terrorist and retired professor. Somehow these don't go together anywhere in the world but America. Bill Ayers is without a doubt a terrorist from the 60s to 70s, even now a year of brainwashing students to hate their country and freedom. The rights to have a home, car, job, and anything that they're willing to work for. But Bill Ayers has been stealing those dreams away from our youth for all these years, producing people that turn on their own country and families, teaching racism that the rich are greedy and the people are too dumb to think for themselves, and that they need to appoint people over them to keep them safe. How's that been working? Pretty, huh? Pretty much interesting, huh? It is sad. It is sad. We are losing our country a piece at a time. We need strong men. And I got to tell you, this president has done a lot of damage. I was a teenager in the mid-50s. I had better race relations with black guys than I have today. I had many friends. We all got together. We used to do up. I had many friends that were black. As a matter of fact, we had a group that was one, two, three black guys, two white guys called the Crystals. And we had no, you know what? We used to have, I used to say, come on up to my neighborhood because I have a tunnel. And we can get good acoustics. And I said, okay. I used to meet him in school, in high school. And they say, yeah, okay, we'll be up there Saturday. Every Saturday I would wait. And they never showed up. And it never dawned on me why they weren't showing up, because it was an all-white neighborhood and they didn't feel comfortable. But I always had good relations. And as a matter of fact, one guy, his name was Johnny Washington, and he taught me how to... He taught me how to sing doo-wop and had him up my house. My mother is from Scotland. Until she got to this country, she never saw a black man. I had him up my house for breakfast. And my mother threw the bass player out, and he was a big guy. He was eating too many pancakes. His name was Willie. Race relations were better then than they are today. You know why? Because there were no instigators going around and stirring the pot of division. It is really sad. And I went to school in Harlem. I was bused into Harlem before busing began. My school up in Washington Heights burned to the ground, my Catholic school. So we had to go to St. Joseph's on Convent Avenue. We used to go down there in a bus, in a school bus. So we were busing before integration. It is really sad. You know what? It's the scab pickers that cause the problems. When people of all colors have a lot in common. If they're family people and they're family oriented, I'm not talking about the guy that's got seven wives and he's not even a sultan. I'm talking about a guy that goes out to support a wife and kids. That's a big common denominator. If you're working side by side with anybody of any color or any language or any race, you got something in common, man. You're all working for the same paycheck, you know? You're trying to make your life better. But the communists don't want that division throughout the land. They want to balkanize the United States. And believe me when I tell you, they're communists. All of the plays that are being made in the media, that's all Karl Marx crap. That goes, like I said the other night, Jimmy from Brooklyn says they're talking about white privilege. He goes, and I never heard white privilege until Ferguson. And Jimmy says that's been in the communist underground for 15 to 20 years. Now it's coming to the surface because they're going to use it to get affirmative action for anybody that's not white. It's not going to work. We've got enough assets in this country to make every man, woman, and child comfortable. For the last 20, 30 years, they told you we had no oil. And now they're telling you, oh, we got plenty of oil. Where did it all come? All of a sudden, we got plenty of oil? Come on. We got more assets in this country. We can self-employ our own selves. We can build and sell to ourselves. We can manufacture everything and sell to ourselves. We don't need anybody. And that's what's bothering the communists. They want to break us all down and make us a fifth world country. And if you look at what's happening in Europe right now, Europe is being overrun. Have you seen the latest photos of all the refugees coming out of Libya, Africa? They're going to Italy. They're going to Greece. They're going to France. And they're on their way to England. France is shipping them to England. They're going to Germany. And the Europeans are going to be overrun. And while they're being overrun and losing their heritage and their culture, they're being accused of being racists. How would you feel if three guys showed up on your doorstep tomorrow and said, listen, you got four bedrooms and we're here, okay? And what's in the fridge? Because we haven't eaten in 8 hours. Comrade, you going to put up with that? We're in trouble. We're in big trouble. And we're going to have to go back to being back in the saddle.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson weed. I'm back in the saddle again, riding the range once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again, whoopee tie, I oh, rocking to and fro. Back in the saddle again, whoopee tie, I go my way. Back in the saddle again. back in the saddle again. Out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed on the lowly Jimson weed, I'm back in the saddle again. Riding the reins once more, toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. Back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-o, rocking to and fro, back in the saddle again. Whoopee-tie-i-a, I go my way, back in the saddle again.
That's our show, folks. Have a nice night. Have a holy Christmas and a happy new year. And we'll be talking before then anyway. Don't forget, it's baby Jesus' birthday. Oh. It's hard to buy a crush today. It's almost against the law. I feel sorry for the GIs, man. I mean, nobody's closer to God than a guy on a battlefield. And to be punished and muzzled by the Muslims. Not the Muslims, the Muslims. It's a crime. It's a real crime. Have a nice night.